You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is Zoe Rose Bryant's interview with the writer and director for Pleasure, Ninja Tyberg.
Pictures up. Are you ready?
Yep.
Action. Hi there.
Hi.
What is your date of birth?
27th of April, 1999.
Do you know what you're here for?
Yes.
Go ahead, tell us about yourself.
I want to be the best.
No. The leg, no. The foot, and open the knee.
All right, elbow like this. And then for the butt shot.
God, look at you. You got a little butt on you.
Are you ready to make a banana happy?
Oh, my God.
She's the natural.
Just give me a little tap, and that means, like, chill out.
Yeah, she definitely can't tap you.
I found my niece. Like, I'm very submissive.
Oh, then why do you act like such a bitch all the time?
Yeah. I'm gonna take over this shit.
Taking over.
Don't you want to see anything else in LA besides a porn set?
No.
What really drew you out here? Because this is a long way from home.
Hello?
Hey, Mama.
I'm just out here because I want to fuck.
This is your life, Linnea.
You book without agents?
You're the one in charge.
What if I would do it for free?
And when you really want something, you can do anything.
Everybody's gonna want to be booking you for crazier and crazier shit.
It's you and me.
No.
Beautiful.
Feel the passion.
When the camera came on, you were like...
I love being in front of the camera. I love having people watching me.
Look at me!
I'm here to be the next big porn star.
Hi, everybody. This is Zoe Rose Bryant on behalf of Next Best Picture. And I'm here today with Ninja Tyberg, the writer and director of Pleasure.
Hi.
Oh, okay. So first I wanted to ask, because I knew that this started as a short film. What inspired you to really pursue projects centered around this concept?
I mean, I've been interested in the topic my whole adult life, and all of my previous work has the same themes of gender roles and power dynamics, also connected to like pop culture and media images somehow. I became very engaged like in a feminist anti-porn movement when I was a teenager after seeing my first porn film. At that point I saw it, like, I thought it was just very degrading. But it's been a very long journey. I became very interested in the subject, and because no one wanted to talk about it. I kept digging, and after a while I also started to, you know, see other layers or nuances, and felt that there was also like porn could also be a good thing. And I became interested in feminist pornography. It's been such a long journey. And then I studied pornography when I studied gender studies, and I became also interested in, you know, I felt that we had, from the people I belong to, like we saw like, yeah, but our pornography is liberating for women, but like mainstream ones is like still oppressive. And I felt that there was like something that, you know, it didn't really feel right to, you know, and I became interested in like understanding the world and the women in that world, and like to know how they felt about their job. And so I made the short film I did as much research as I could from my home and from my computer, and like reading books and stuff like that. But And then I was going on, you know, touring with the film and saying in interviews that I wanted to portray the real people behind the porn stereotypes. But I felt like a hypocrite because I had actually never met anyone from the porn industry. So I decided to do it again and do it properly this time. And it was always like, I always had the vision of doing a feature length film and maybe using the short film as some kind of stepping stone to that. So, yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah, I love how it's not really black and white in the movie. You do a good job at showing the gray and the good and the bad, and never completely demonizing it or glamorizing anything. when you talked about, you know, talking with specific porn actors and adult film actors, how did you get them involved in the project? What was that process like?
I mean, it took a very long time. It was a period of like 5 years that I went back and forth between Sweden and LA. And the good thing was that I had done the short film and I could show that. And, you know, in that film, it's obvious that I'm not like trying to paint, like, you know, the people are really just people. And it's not about, you know, pointing fingers and saying that people in porn are bad. So I was just very honest also that I wanted to learn. So I started to meet with a few people, like Mark Spiegler was, for example, one of the first people that I met already in 2014. And then step by step, like one person introduced me to another one. And because I spent so much time there, like, and took every chance I could to, you know, it didn't take that long before like the world opened up to me and I, became part of the community. And also, like, you know, I started to have friends there, and there was a lot of people who were, they were very engaged in the film and wanted to be part of it. So I started to audition people for the parts already in, I think, yeah, like years before we actually shot the film, because I wanted to try them out. And then we also had people from the adult industry being part of the production. So yeah, it's been a long process.
Sounds like it. Yeah. And what did it look like involving Sophia in the search? Was she cast before? Like, how long has she been involved with the project?
Yeah, no, it took me a really long time because I was there in, I auditioned people already 2016 in LA. But then I knew like I have to find the main character and also continue writing the script. But then it took like 1.5 years to find her, and we were searching all over Sweden. Then after like a very long search, everyone was like, thought that I was crazy and that I had invented this fantasy figure, because I never felt like anyone was good enough. And they said that I was chasing a ghost because she doesn't exist, because you've invented her. But it wasn't like I was looking for some, like, I didn't know exactly, I didn't have like a clear image of this is exactly what she looks like. I just felt like I'm gonna know when I meet her, I'm gonna know that it's, you know, that it's right, and that she's the one. And that's really how it felt like when she came to the audition. And she had never auditioned before, so she'd never been in front of a camera. She had never acted. So we have a mutual friend like that told her about the audition. So and that I was, you know, trying everyone, and so she decided to just like try it out, and then she got the part. But it was really, you know, I had to like really get to know her and try and make sure that she would be that I could give someone like this big of a like this challenging job. And it was really important for me to know that she had good support from like friends and family. And then she came with me to LA, and I think we spent like 9 months developing the character and the script together before we started to shoot. And she was in LA and she went to porn sets with me and got to know the people. And then when we continued to audition and like put together the full cast, like she got to choose like who she felt comfortable working with. And if there was someone that she didn't like to, yeah, do a scene with, like that person didn't get the part. So she was very much involved in every step of the way, which I think was totally necessary with this type of film. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Burn the Boats from Evergreen Podcasts. I interview political leaders and influencers, folks like award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and conservative columnist Bill Kristol, about the choices they confront when failure is not an option. I won't agree with everyone I talk to, but I respect anyone who believes in something enough to risk everything for it. Because history belongs to those willing to burn the boats. Episodes are out every other week wherever you get your podcasts.
And speaking of kind of making someone comfortable and the challenges, where did you decide where the line was in showing what you showed in the film? And was there really a line?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I knew that no one's going to have sex for real. Like that was never, ever something, you know, that we, like, that was clear from the beginning. I also felt like I really don't want to show any penetration anyway, because that's not really what the film is about. And since it is the female gaze, like, as a woman, I don't see penetration when I have sex. Like, that's, it's also, you know, I was trying to focus on, like, what does she actually see? And so there was a lot of, like, I wanted to avoid a certain type of images. I didn't want it to look like a porn film. It was supposed to be, like, you know, something completely, like, the whole purpose is to not reproduce the male gaze, but to use a female gaze and show everything that is, you know, going on outside of the traditional porn frame, and show everything that the female body needs to hide to create this male fantasy. But then we discussed everything, you know, what she was comfortable with. And but that was a constant, because it's one thing, like, you can sit down and talk and say what you want, like, this is what I feel good about, but then you constantly also have to check in, because that can change while you're doing it. So it was good that we had like our secret language, that we could speak Swedish to each other. So if there was something that she was uncomfortable with, but maybe she didn't want to speak up in front of the whole crew, she could talk to me in Swedish. And I could also, the same way, I mean, if I wanted to give her instructions without anyone else knowing, so that was our little secret language.
That's cool. I guess in my last question, I wanted to ask what you want people to take away from the movie most of all.
I want people to start, like, we need to acknowledge that porn exists. It's a huge part of our culture, and it affects us in so many ways. And if we don't, we're not going to be able to do anything about, like, some of the problems that comes from that if we don't talk about it. And the people who's working in the industry, we have to listen to them and take them seriously and see them as people. And I want people to not be able to watch porn the same way after seeing the film, and for, like, the stigma around the performers to go away.
That's awesome. I think that definitely comes across. So thank you so much for talking to me today. Love the movie. Best of luck. Thank you.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to Zoe Rose Bryant's interview with the writer and director for Pleasure, Ninja Tyberg, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. Pleasure will be playing in limited release in theaters on May 13th from Neon. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you will get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.